ball is high, it is far, it is gone to win the game.
The Mets are on their way back.
World champions for the 27th time.
Home plate for all things Major League Baseball. This is the Nosebleeds Podcast on WFUV Sports.
Calendar just 2 days away from flipping to June, and while most eyes are on the NBA and NHL on nights like this, WFUV Sports still has you covered for all things baseball. Joe Henry here with Bradley Byrne and Griffin Stevens for another episode of the Nosebleeds Podcast, your podcast for everything Major League Baseball. And we'll keep it central in New York here for this episode as we reach about the two-month way in the season. Both New York teams have been the source of a lot of talk, some good, some bad. We'll start kind of on the bad side with the Mets, and that's kind of the bone I have to pick because I can't believe that it is bad. Now, the Mets have maybe not been everything you could have wanted them to be over the past 10-plus days. They have a 5-5 record in their last 10 games, but I think a closer look should raise some eyebrows about the kind of media criticism that they're receiving. They've won four of their last five games, guys, and they dropped one to the White Sox last night. They still won that series. And if you went on Twitter, you'd think that Juan Soto walked out of the building in the sixth inning and that Queens is on fire, because the kind of backlash that this team receives after every loss is wild. But overwhelmingly, they've still had a great season, sitting at 34-22 now, 21-7 at home, best home record in the league, won four of their last five at home. They've allowed less runs than any other team in the league. And still, there's this kind of scrutiny. What do you make of all that, and what have you guys seen from the Mets recently during this mini skid?
I can go first. I think it is interesting that you mentioned it. Based on how people talk about the Mets over the last, like, ever since the Subway Series, to be honest, maybe a little bit before, you would think that they were, like, one of the worst teams in baseball. But they're not. Like you said, best home record. 5-5 isn't the best in your last 10 games, but it could be a lot worse. And it just seems to me like the Mets fans, I think, maybe still have this like PTSD of like completely falling off or not living up to the potential. So any sort of, I guess, hiccup is a huge red flag. But I think everyone is sort of taking out their frustration with Juan Soto on the general Mets team, because Juan Soto has been bad, like very bad. I mean, what? Joey, I have a stat.
For him, it's been like, if you told me before the season started that Juan Soto would be batting 224 with only 8 home runs and 25 RBIs and we're nearing June, I would think you're a little crazy.
Yeah.
So,
yo, these are,
for Juan Soto standards, this is really
these are
bad.
Stats over the last 20 games. He's 12 for 72, which is a 1.167 batting average. And he's only had 3 home runs. I'm sorry. That's a player you wouldn't really give like a. That's a player you wouldn't even give like a $30 million contract to, let alone a $700 million contract. So I think that's why, and I do think whether there, I choose to believe that there's not truth to like the whole rumors of him not being happy or whatever. But I think a lot of Mets fans are starting to maybe worry about that, and it sucks. But also, I would say, let's just wait till the baseball that actually does matter, because honestly, in the Mets last season are a perfect example of this. Nothing really matters until after the All-Star break, personally, like out of like real seriousness, except for like injuries. And then I do believe that Juan Soto will be good in the playoffs. So I think Mets fans need to be taking away more of the good stuff, that the players that they didn't know if they could count on, like Brett Batty, are playing out of their minds.
Yeah, I mean,
no, 100%. And I wonder if like Carlos Mendoza's maybe trying to experiment to see where Juan Soto would fit best, maybe at the two spot or three or even cleanup. So I feel like it's just an adjustment period for Juan Soto. I don't think, because you said it perfectly, Griffin, the regular season essentially does not really matter. Once we get to October, that's when we're honing in on who is going to show it when it matters most. Because, like, for example, there are some players that, like Aaron Judge, I don't mean to pick on the Yankees, we'll talk about them later, but Aaron Judge, 162 games, had one of the greatest offensive seasons in MLB history. And then when it came time to the postseason, he was just nowhere to be found. So I think people are over exaggerating a little bit with saying, oh, he's a bust, like the contract isn't worth it. We're only, what, not even 60 games into the season, and he has a 14 years left on his contract. So I think we're overreacting a little bit, but as an unbiased Mets fan, Juan Soto has not been what I've expected. I have to put the bias aside for a second and call it how I see it. Juan Soto has not been as good as we anticipated.
Yeah, I mean, as a biased Yankees fan, on the other hand, you couldn't have really asked for a better way this has started for Juan Soto as a Yankees fan. Like, literally
Yankees have
amazing.
actually blown away my expectations too. Like, you would think that losing Juan Soto would make you worse, but the Yankees somehow look better.
Well, it's because they reinvested all the money that would have gone to one player. Like, I don't really, like, makes sense.
They recreated him in the aggregate
Yeah,
with
exactly.
guys like Bellinger and Goldschmidt. Goldschmidt's having a phenomenal year. He's having a better year than Juan Soto's having, which is not
Also, they
something you would
got
have
like a Cy
expected
Young
to
winner.
say.
They got
Yeah,
a Cy Young
it
winner.
will talk about their pitching too, because both of these teams' pitching staffs have been revelations, not staffs given the injuries to guys like Benaia and Cole, not staffs that you expected to be top five in the league, but they both have been that. But to stay on the other side of things at the plate, yes, Soto's underwhelmed. I would honestly be surprised if this continues much longer. Watching his at bats, I think they've gotten progressively better. Didn't look great last night. But at other times this week, the games that I was at, I was fairly impressed with his play, even if it ended up in outs. He was hitting the ball a lot harder than he had been earlier in the season. Can't quite say the same for another guy that I wanted to hone in on, and that's Mark Vientos. It's been a big struggle for him all year, and that's been directly contrasted with someone like Brett Beatty, who's turned it on quite a lot in the past week. But that doesn't mean that Mark Vientos' struggles are any less significant. Batting 235 now, which doesn't look terrible, but on the fielding side, he has been, by the metrics, the worst fielder in all of baseball. First percentile in range, first percentile in outs above average. He's been the worst guy in the hot corner, committed a couple brutal, just brutal errors in the past week. Bradley, what have you seen from Vientos' struggles, and what do you think the next step is with him?
I feel like Vientos is just one of those like factors that goes into the entire Mets offense. I feel like every single year for the first like 2 months, the Mets offense just looks like not horrific, but it's like incredibly underwhelming. Like Francisco Lindor, for example, for the past few years, like for the first month of baseball, he'll be absolutely like mediocre and underwhelming. But then I feel like post All-Star break is when we see who players really are and see whether the slumps were just, kind of like, I guess, pre All-Star, not like long-term slumps, but like whether I think Marvino's a bounce back. He's just having a slow start. He was really good last year. And the thing that does concern me is the fielding. Sometimes I think to myself, should Mark Giannis really be everyday third baseman, or should he, sometimes play first base? I mean, that was the question going to the season. If the Mets didn't get Pete Alonso, was Mark Vientos going to be moved out of third base? Because he's been arguably the worst fielding third baseman in the league so far. So I just think it's a little bit of a short slump for Vientos. I'd be surprised with him if he continues to play horribly, but I'm not really too concerned about Vientos.
Interesting.
Yeah, I think, I mean, luckily, like the recent games, his hitting has sort of made up for his fielding in a certain sense. But I think, again, it's just one of those things where, kind of on the Juan Soto situation, where it just kind of sums up how the Mets, I feel like, our mentality is right now, where it's just like, oh, well, surely it can't get any worse than this. Like, we're playing bad and we're still winning. So, like, at some point, we'll improve. But it kind of just seems like they're kind of hoping it'll work itself out on its own. And I don't necessarily know if that's going to be the case, Like, I think there's just a lot of it. Just I don't know. It just seems like this Mets team as a whole can't really put it all completely together. And that's why, like Vientos, he's actually starting to hit the ball a lot better, but he just is such a liability on the field. And I think it does cause Mendoza to make some like interesting calls that I mean, I wouldn't want to deal with the Mets fan base too when it comes to making these decisions. And so I think that's what it is. I think there's like a lot of pressure to do something, But there's also a lot of pressure to like make sure like whatever that is appeases the most amount of people. So they're just in a weird spot, I would say.
No doubt. And there's somewhat of a log jam. Injuries make it a little bit easier. But now as guys get start to get healthy, the only guy who I think, or two guys that are still injured that are going to be an impact when they come back are Jesse Winker and Jose Siri. But when you look at a guy like Jared Young, who was just called up and has been doing the DHing, his natural position's first base, he started out 0 for 5, ended up getting a couple knocks in his last appearance, including a home run. Looked really solid at the plate there. The only other place where you could put Mark Vientos, because Pete Alonso is at first base, would be DH. Now you have another guy who's starting to play well there. And you have another guy in Jesse Winker who figures to be mainly a DH when he comes back. You have Brett Beatty, who you know can play a better third base than Mark Vientos. You have Jeff McNeil and Luis Acuña, who you know can play second base if Brett Beatty is playing third base. The odd man out, by my calculation, would be Mark Vientos.
I just think that kind of like what the Mets have been doing with Jose Siri is having him as like a pinch runner or a pinch hitter. I just feel like Mark Vientos is too valuable of a bat come the second half of the season to have him play, like a pinch hitter. Because think about it, if Young ends up playing really, really well, but we won't know that if Vientos plays DH. Carlos Mendoza is a very interesting decision to make come All-Star break. Is this going to be, the same roster we're seeing now? Is Mark Vientos going to be the everyday third baseman, or are you going to put Brett Beatty in, who is a much better fielder and has been better hitting, and then you put Mark Vientos maybe DH? But then the Mets are just very deep. They have a critical decision to make when everyone comes back, though.
Yeah. We'll switch over to the pitching side of things briefly before shipping over to the Bronx and talk about the Yankees. For the second, maybe even the third year in a row, the Mets have been so much better than you could have possibly expected on the mound. You look at some of the names, and yeah, they're solid, but I don't think you would have expected things to be this good. Kodai Senga obviously is ace material. But there was the injury concern coming back from that. Clay Holmes' first year shifting into a starting role. David Peterson is, I think, 37 years old. Griffin Canning was one of the worst pitchers in baseball last year. Tyler McGill was an unknown quantity. Literally all five of those guys in your rotation are sporting sub-4 ERAs, and it's not close. Almost all five of them are sporting sub-3.5 ERAs. What have you guys seen from them? And do you think that this is sustainable?
Bradley, you want to go
Yeah, I'll take it
first?
first. First off, shout out Kodai Senga for finally being healthy for a season and actually putting up really decent innings in most of his starts. And it's kind of weird. Like, if you told me going to the season that the Mets would have, I think it's the lowest ERA in the majors, and I think second in bullpen ERA, I would think that you were crazy. But the Mets are always just like one of those weird teams where like you think, oh, one side is going to be better than the other. Like, in this case, going to the season, we thought the offense was going to be much better than the pitching, but it's the opposite. And then I feel like in past years, it's been, oh, the pitching is going to be a lot better than the offense, but then the offense ended up being better. So I don't know. It's only happened to the New York Mets, where it's like you think one side will be better, but it just ends up being the other side. But I think throughout the regular season, this will be sustainable. But then I think the one thing that does bother me a tad bit is I feel like the bullpen has been struggling a little bit. And obviously, we saw that in the playoffs last year, where especially against the Dodgers, where the Dodgers were able to beat the Mets because their bullpen guys were able to give up less runs. So the bullpen scares me come playoff time, but I think in the regular season, it's pretty sustainable.
And also, I think when it comes to pitching too, these are guys who are kind of being tooled, and like everyone always joins with the Mets pitching lab to be play well. But there are guys like I think right now, as we speak, Montas is pitching for the Cyclones. So like there are guys that are also going to come back and bolster this rotation even further. And I think that's what's the scariest thing to me as like a as someone who doesn't want the Mets to play well, admittedly, is that if they can be this good on the mound, they're especially based on how they performed last season in the playoffs, like if the bats can start coming around, this Mets team is, I think, has the potential to be the scarier than it's ever been before. And I think the pitching is what scares me, but what should give a lot of Mets fans hope for like big success this season.
No doubt, because even if in this slight struggle stretch, if you could even call it that, the focus has been on the lack of run production. But with the exception of last night when the Mets gave up 9 runs to the Chicago White Sox, the pitching has been rock solid every single game, even in losses, even in that 13 inning extra innings affair against the Dodgers when you end up giving 7 runs. Your bullpen gave you 11 innings of work. And then you guys found a way to put together 4 straight wins after that, despite having an exhausted bullpen. When the bats come around, and you guys made a good point, some of these guys that are struggling in the Mets lineup, you cannot reasonably expect for this to continue for an entire season. You'd have to think that when these two things come together, assuming that the pitching is sustainable, that this team, which is already maybe one of the 5 best teams in the majors, has an even higher ceiling than that. With that, let's transfer over to a team that has been even better, and that's the Yankees. 35-20 record, +113 run differential is the best in the league by a mile. They're leading the league in most of the major hitting stats, first in the league in walks, first in the league in OBP, first in the league in slugging, thus first in the league in OPS. On the pitching side, they've been incredibly good as well. They've allowed less hits than any other team in the majors. Griffin, I know you're a Yankees fan. What have you guys seen from them? They just completed this 3-game sweep of the Angels, and they're totally in the driver's seat in the AL East.
Yeah, that was actually good. I got to watch a lot. I actually got to watch these games because NBA TV or MLB TV
On
and
NBA
the Angels.
TV.
Yeah, on NBA TV. No, but it's, I mean, first of all, Carlos Rodon is actually like kind of going back to his San Francisco form a little bit. And that's been absurd. He made a great play the other night, just the Jeter-esque jump throw. His ERA is at like a 260 right now. It's the beard. It's got to be the beard or something that's allowed him to play better. But seriously, it seems like the Yankees. I mean, is it crazy to say that the Yankees have the best hitter, the best starting pitcher, and the best closer in the league right now? Because I think Judge is the
I
best
think
hitter,
that,
no
I think
doubt.
that is crazy.
Max Fried has a case to be the best starting pitcher, and I think Luke Weaver, without a doubt, is the best closing pitcher in the league.
I
I think
think
the one
that's
thing that I would say no
ridiculous.
about is the starting pitcher. I think some people prefer Skubal
Yes,
over
Skubal's
Max
definitely
Fried, and
better.
I think that's the only thing. I think closer and hitter, yes, without a doubt. But I just think pitcher, if someone were to say Tarek Skubal over Max Fried, I wouldn't be mad at that. That's just the one thing. But if we're excluding Tarek Skubal somehow, then yes, you are right. But I feel like it's every other day. Like you could put Max Fried ahead of Tarek Skubal one day, and then the next day you put Tarek Skubal ahead of Max Fried. I feel like it's just alternating.
Yeah, it's just it's crazy because if Gerrit Cole wasn't hurt, I'm at like this team would be like perfect. Like I would put them in like a guaranteed like World Series challenging spot. But like I don't know. I think right now as a Yankees fan, I'm just kind of enjoying where they're at. I mean, even the only thing I could think of which he has been better in the past, like he's been okay. It's just like I think Anthony Volpe maybe needs to get moved around a bit in the rotation or his spot in the lineup, only because this happened a lot in this Angel series in particular. He comes up with the bases loaded like a lot, and I just kind of wish there was someone else there to come up with.
No, because he's been in like that fifth or sixth spot lately, and I feel like it needs to be closer to like that seven or
Yeah.
eight. Because, like,
His fielding's
if
amazing.
it,
He's great.
because, like, yeah, if Anthony Volpe is like up to bat with the bases loaded, I would also be nervous as a Yankees fan, too. So I feel like Boone has to kind of put him to like that seventh spot. I still would, just having Anthony Volpe your seventh spot is still crazy in its of itself, but I just think fifth is a little bit high for Volpe, in my
Yeah,
opinion.
but the another takeaway, honestly, is, dude, if I was a team with a lot of good left-handed pitchers, I would hate to play this team. Like the Yankees are raking left-handed. Like, I think Judge bats 480 against lefties or something crazy like that, and Goldschmidt destroys lefties. Like, this team is, in my opinion, is just like, I don't know. I feel like the Yankees are just so entertaining to watch. A stat you didn't mention either, Joe, is they lead the league in home runs also. Yeah, what
Well,
you say?
at that stadium. Anyways,
Yeah, but no, like Dominguez is like playing like a rookie of the year. Like I don't know. Nick, Yankees fans cannot complain. Like I honestly think the only bad thing going on for Yankees fans right now is the Knicks.
let's.
Like that's the only thing Yankees fans have to be sad about right now.
No, that's a striking point. You said that you're just having fun watching them. I don't think I've felt that about a team in my life. Like, that's crazy to be just enjoying it and not freaking out. Especially, I feel like New York fans tend to really
Yeah, well,
struggle with that concept.
I think it's a combination of like I said, they're playing amazing, especially the last 10 games. They've been the best team in the league besides the Phillies, I believe. And then it's like Judge is just immaculate, but also it's kind of again the same thing of like pre-All-Star break baseball. It's like as long as your team isn't blowing up, like they're playing good, and so there's not a lot of like stress, and it's just fun to watch because it's at this point it's like I go into Yankees games with the mentality of like, what can they do? Like, I just can't wait to see how they play. But also at the same time, I was looking at their net, like their upcoming games, and that's what scares me is they got to play the Dodgers, then the Guardians, then the Red Sox, and I don't know. Like, the Yankees are on like a 7-series streak. The Dodgers are damn good. The Guardians, you never know. And the Guardians have actually been playing pretty good recently as well. And then the Red Sox, Joe, I
Say
saw
it.
it was funny you reached,
Say
like
it.
it's just the Red Sox always, I feel like, always find a way to beat the Yankees. Like
That much is true. That much
it's
is
just one of
true.
those things. Although who knows, with Gerrit Cole injured, maybe that's like a different re maybe that's like a reset, because we know about Devers and Cole, but like I don't know. If the Yankees beat the Dodgers and the Red Sox, I don't really care about the Guardians series. If the Yankees can beat the Dodgers and the Red Sox, I will be like really like all in on like, okay, yeah, the Yankees are should have the highest odds to win the World Series this year. 'Cause I think these are like the types of times, especially under Boone, where it's like, wow, the Yankees are really good and they're doing this. And then you're like, okay, wait, who have they played? And then you actually play these like hard series stretches and you're like, oh, are we that good? You know, like, are the Yankees actually that good? And it's something that I think is that kind of the monkey on their backs. 'Cause again, the East, the American League has not been that good in the last few years. And they kind of made the World Series and did that. Where it's just like, oh, you played like a good team and then you lose. So I think that's the only thing to be scared about if you're a Yankees fan. And it's ironically what's happening with the Knicks too. It's a New York sports thing, is you're always good until you actually have to play good teams. And I think that's kind of like I mentioned the Mets PTSD. I think that's kind of New York sports fan PTSD.
Well, I mean, the Knicks beat the Celtics. The
Yeah, I
Celtics are a
know.
pretty good team.
But like, again, it is one of those things of like no one thought that going into it. So I think it's just the New York trauma of like, yeah, of we're good and we always say that we're good, but deep down, maybe are we that good? But this Yankees team, I think, is a little different. But I think Boone can't get complacent with stuff that we mentioned of like just because you're doing well, maybe that doesn't mean you could just get complacent with like people like where Anthony Volpe is in the lineup, you know? Gotta make the adjustments now. That way it's all sort of figured out come September, October time.
Let's talk a little bit about Aaron Judge, who is the reason why the Yankees are leading in so many of these categories, or at least the prime reason why, because he's on record-breaking trajectory here. And it's with a stat called BABIP, batting average on balls in play. Baseball heads know it. Pretty much, it's your batting average, excluding strikeouts and homers. So anytime you hit the ball on the field, and there's a chance for a fielder to field it, it's your batting average in those situations. The MLB average is 290, which is the lowest mark it's been in 23 years. What do you think Aaron Judge's BABIP is?
I think it's like 500.
I'm gonna say like 467.
It's 467. What? Why did you know that? It's
Wait,
actually
what? Am I
460.
right? Are you
It's
serious?
actually
No way. Am I
467.
actually
No
right? It's
way. Exactly
I
467.
swear to not Google that. I did not know that at all. Are you
That's
serious?
ridiculous.
Oh my
467.
gosh. Wow. Someone
That's
clip that and put it on TikTok,
so, yeah,
please.
someone
That's
throw that on
crazy.
TikTok. Kurt Sybil, get on that. Oh my goodness.
I did not know that. I just took a shot in the dark. Wow.
Well, it's 467. Guess who, if he were to sustain that pace, would then move into second all time in BABIP in a season.
Gotta just go Babe Ruth, probably, right?
It's Babe Ruth. It's Babe. All
Two
right,
for two.
this guy knows
Nice.
everything. It's Babe Ruth. And what's crazy is Judge's BABIP is 467.
Where's Tony Gwynn on that
Tony
list?
Gwynn not
I was just about to
listed
say that.
in this top five.
Huh.
But the guys who are all played at the very least 102 years ago. So he's doing something that
Oh,
has
wow.
not been done ever in baseball, but at the very least has not been done in a century. And those marks that were being posted in the pre-Great Depression during the
Yeah.
presidencies of Woodrow Wilson and company, they're still 40 points off of Judge. Babe Ruth's was 423 during the 1923 season. Aaron Judge's is 467. So not just
I mean,
breaking records, but shattering them.
he got walked twice last night. Intentionally walked last night twice. He leads the league in WAR too, for like a full game. It's just crazy that it's just I really hope he gets the ring at some point here, because like that's kind of what he needs, you know? Like, it's weird. And I'm gonna say it right now, and I saw someone tweet it, like, it's kind of true. If Ohtani didn't pitch 3 years ago, I Judge is even talked about even more. Like, to me, there is no conversation. Aaron Judge is the best player in the league. I don't, I like, I, it doesn't, it, it's crazy. I think he's the best. I think he's the best not righted out hitter ever. It's kind of nuts. He's also just like the perfect New York player, I feel like. I don't know. Like, he's like makes a lot of sense there. He's a good dude. And also, let's talk about contracts. That $360 million contract.
It's a bargain. That's an absolute
It's
bargain.
kind of like the whole Magic Johnson contract thing back in the day. It's like sometimes, which I think is what a lot of owners actually thought they were going to do with the whole Juan Soto thing and like the Shohei Ohtani contracts, is like sometimes it pays a lot to overpay a really good player at first, because you don't know what the market's going to be like in a few years. And man, like, literally the fact that you get a player like that for half of, like, nearly half of what the other best players in the league are getting is crazy to me. And I think that needs to be talked about more too, is just that the Yankees are getting this level of historic production on a not historic contract.
Yeah, what's most funny to me about Judge this year, and this is coming from a Red Sox fan, is that he's breaking all kinds of records. His numbers are ridiculous. He's hitting almost 400 and just straight batting average, leading the league in just about anything that you could care about as far as hitters go. And he's not getting talked about as much as you would expect. At least that's the feeling I get. This would be a whole broader conversation, a whole broader road to go down. But it feels like if LeBron was putting up these kind of numbers, it's a little different because he's this old. But people make memes about LeBron getting so much media attention. I don't think that Judge commands as much even during a year as great as this year. I mean, if you compare this to like 2012 LeBron or whenever his best season was, I don't think that what Judge is getting from the media right now, despite the things he's doing, is proportional to what he's doing.
I just also think that's kind of because baseball media really only cares about like home run record when it comes to like crazy season benchmarks, you know? And it'll get talked about in the it'll get talked about in the playoffs for sure. But again, that's what I'm saying. Judge needs to perform in the playoffs or else none of this really matters on like a for like a long term thing. Like, yeah, it'll be the thing that like you'll look back on it maybe and like the baseball nerds in 20 years will be like, whoa, like let's talk about this season, right? But if he doesn't win anything, it doesn't matter. I mean, he'll win American League MVP, but again, he's done that before. And until like one ring changes this whole conversation, like one ring for Judge that he plays decent in starts getting him in like uncomfortable conversations about like the Yankees all-timers, you know? So it, I think, but I think no one knows that more than Aaron Judge. So I was just curious to see like in a year where we're seeing like the Orioles underperform, honestly, the best the American League has to offer right now is the Tigers. I feel confident saying the Yankees will play another World Series, or they should this year, but it's just, can they actually like do it? Again, it's kind of like New York sports. It's, hey, talk about it, but it's like the Knicks, where kind of was like a lucky, really predicament for them to get in this season. And if they don't win anything, it's kind of like, well, what can they do? Grant, I think it's a little different because I think the Yankees will get even better next season. That's this conversation for a whole other time, but I think the reason why I'm having fun is, like I said, watching this is because right now the Yankees are playing well and there's not other uncomfortable conversations you have to have. And the moment the stakes come in to play is when, like, I don't know, the Yankees maybe lose a little bit of that appeal, if you will.
I get that. Well, let's broaden our horizons a little bit. A few minutes left in the show today. It's June. It's kind of a benchmark when you evaluate teams, how they performed early in the season, contrary to expectations. We could talk about the negatives. I could talk about the Red Sox. I'm not in the mood to do it right now. You could probably gauge how I feel about what's happened with the Boston Red Sox this year as a whole, but specifically the past 2 weeks or so. Let's keep it positive to end it off. I want you guys to tell me about a team that has surprised you in a good way early on this season through 55 or so games of play.
I mean, I can go first. I'm gonna keep it local. I mean, the Mariners still really can't hit the ball, but like they're winning games still. And Cal Raleigh is the only other guy. Cal Raleigh is like, if Aaron Judge wasn't having this amazing season, Cal Raleigh would be getting talked about even more than he is. He's second in the league in wins above replacement. Up there with Judge and Ohtani in the home run tally. Yeah, as they have one of the best rotations, honestly, of all time. Their division's underperforming, but like they're still playing well. I just hope they can keep it up.
My pick was also the Seattle Mariners. I died on the Seattle Mariners hill last year before the season started that they would make the ALCS, and obviously that aged terribly. They didn't even make the playoffs, but I will die on the hill again this year. It will be Yankees Mariners ALCS. You can make this another TikTok. I'm predicting it right now. Yankees Mariners ALCS. You heard it here first on this episode, but.
We'll add it to the poll. Yeah, for sure. What day? May 29th, a Thursday. I would love to see that. I would really love to see that as someone from Portland and that's a Yankees fan. Also, historically, how those ALCSs go when it comes to the Yankees. But yeah, I mean, they can actually hit the ball. So somewhat, but not even. Like, if they start hitting the ball better, it's scary for the league. It really is. But then again, the Astros are already almost only a half game back again, which seems to be the story of the American League West for the longest time.
For
Joe, who's your
literally
pick?
forever. Well, I'll get to it in a second. I'll talk about the Mariners a bit because I really like the Mariners. It's crazy that their lineup has continued to underwhelm to the extent that it has. Obviously, it hasn't been as terrible as last year was. But what's most fascinating is when you consider this rotation, which Griffin, you say is one of the best rotations you could dream of. They've been doing it without George Kirby, who's probably my favorite arm in that entire rotation, and he's just coming back now. So this team, it's not just that they've been good so far and they've been a good surprise, if you will, and that they put it together to a greater extent than they did last year, is that they're probably going to get even better, which is what's most fascinating. A team that, to be honest, I'm not quite sure the same could be said for, but that still deserves to be talked about based on the way they started the season. It's the St. Louis Cardinals. And the Red Sox played the Cardinals a couple months ago, and I could not have conceived of myself saying that because you look at their lineup, it's not bad, but it's not good. No one stands out. They don't have superstars in that lineup. And then you go over and say, okay, well, maybe the rotation has been what's carrying them. And statistically, yeah, the rotation's been really good. The hitting's actually been maybe even better. They're top three in some pretty big categories. They're top three in average, top four in hits, top eight in RBIs. They strike out less than most teams. But the pitching staff has been particularly curious. I think with the exception of maybe the two teams we've talked about, or the three teams we've talked about, the Yankees, Mets, and Mariners, this might be the best rotation in baseball. And you'd be very surprised to hear that when I say the names. Eric Fetty, Sonny Gray, Andre Pallante, Matthew Liberatore, and Miles Mikolas. These guys have sported a combined, I think, about a 3.3 ERA. Not a single one of them is having a bad season. They've been innings eaters. They're keeping their whip low. They're keeping their walks low. And then you go over to the bullpen and say, okay, this team, which is 32 and 24, a team that is just a couple of games back of a Cubs team that's also worthy of talk about a good surprise. Not that we didn't expect them to be a little better than they were last year, but they've been really good, especially Pete Crow Armstrong. This is a team that if the season ended today would be in the playoffs, which is stunning. And you look at the bullpen, and what I'll do this time, I'll read the ERAs first, and then I'll read the names. ERAs 191, 215, 270, 332, 393, 363. Those are the numbers that are controlling or that are dominating this Cardinals bullpen. Here are the names that are doing it. Steven Matz, Kyle Leahy, Phil Matone, Ryan Helsley, John King, and Jojo Romero. That's been a top two or three bullpen in baseball. That's astounding to me. The whips are even more impressive. They have two guys sporting sub one whips. I don't know how they do it. To be honest, when you look at the names, I don't think that they can sustain this. This is a really deep West or a really deep National League. You've got teams like the Diamondbacks have underwhelmed a bit. Teams like the Giants and the Braves are going to contend for those spots. It's hard to envision the Cardinals finishing an 162 game season above those clubs, but they've still been a really fun team to watch despite some pretty mediocre expectations over there in the NL Central. Close it out with that. Good to end on a positive note, even though, with the Red Sox fan A hosting, I could have made sure that every listener went home, feeling a little bit upset today, but I didn't. I withheld. We'll maybe talk about the Red Sox next week, but that's all for this week as we head towards June. Bradley Byrne, Griffin Stevenson, this is Joe Henry signing off from this week's episode of Nosebleeds, your WFUV Sports podcast for all things Major League Baseball. We'll catch you next week.